Ladies and gentlemen, questions and answer, Q&A time. We have microphones out there somewhere. Ah, we're going to borrow one. Here. Questions of these three gentlemen.
I see you guys sitting there. I know Doug Matthews has set a lot of records. I'd like to hear from Doug about... this is Jack Roush, by the way. Yes, I'm just a face in a crowd here. But I'd like to hear about your records, especially that one at 41,000 feet in the Mustang.
Yeah, I'm glad you introduced yourself, Jack. You know, we've only known each other 10 years. But ladies and gentlemen, Jack Roush, a great NASCAR fellow and owns two P-51s, good pilot. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to... my goal was a couple years ago to break my 100th world record. I'd set a bunch of world records in time to climb and point to point, etc. I continue to be amazed by the P-51. I saw that the altitude record for that category and class of aircraft was 34,000 feet, and I know that during the big war that the fighters had gone that high. And I felt like I could break that. The book said, talked to Bud Anderson, and he says the book said the service ceiling is 41,000 feet. So how hard could it be? Now, P-51 has no, what we would call today, environmental control system. So there's no heat, pressurization, air conditioning, and anything. As you get up in the upper altitudes, it's 60 degrees below zero. But notwithstanding that, and a good portion of poor judgment, I launched off in May of 2013 and set the time to climb records for 20,000, 30,000, and 40,000, and set the absolute record of 42,500 feet in the P-51. The neatest thing about it one really little vignette was FA had cleared me a corridor across southern Florida into the warning area over Fort Myers, and coming down the west coast is a big air traffic lane. They run you down the west coast and up the east coast. I'm climbing through 41, crossing Fort Myers. Miami says, Delta 417, unable your descent request. There's traffic climbing through your altitude at your 130, a P-51. There's this long silence, and the pilot on the radio comes back and says, say again the aircraft type? And Miami says, that's a North American P-51 fighter. He's going out into the warning area. Oh, way cool.
We've got another question out here.
A question for the colonel. Sir, do you still do any flying?
Oh, do you still fly? Do you still fly, General?
Oh, that's me. I don't fly as a pilot anymore. I fly as a passenger only reluctantly.
Yeah, but. Just before lunch, he said, what airplanes have you got here? And I told him T-33, P-51, F-86, Mark Kitty jet. I said, I don't suppose you'd want to go for a flight, you know. And he said words to the effect of, heck yes, P-51. So he's going flying tomorrow.
Yay, yay. Any other questions? Questions for the three gentlemen?
Hi, so I had a question about the airplane in front of us, the MiG-17. I see it has Polish markings on it, so I wanted to know a little about the history of this airplane.
Well, this aircraft was built in Poland in 1960. It's one of, I think, 198, about 200 of the PF-17. It's actually spelled MIG, M-I-M, capital M, little I, big G, dash 17, and then a capital P, capital F. And the P and the F stands for the radar. John that's here can probably tell you more about that, but the P and the F designate the two different types of radar that the aircraft have. It was the Soviet Union's, again, first all-weather radar intercepting jet fighter. There were two variants, this one with three 23-millimeter cannons, and another one that had the same gun armament but also carried four ATOL missiles. So if that helps you any. They were withdrawn from service fairly early. This an aircraft was built in 60, withdrawn from service in 64, and went into a aviation trade school where it was taken apart and put together and souvenirs taken off of it, etc., for several decades before left out in a field to rust away before it was rescued and brought to the States and restored.
How challenging is it to maintain it in good flyable condition?
Well, some of the parts are readily available, surprisingly enough. 20 countries flew the aircraft type. Two still do. So the Chinese continued to build the engine for these things all the way up until 1989, new. So there's still a lot. You know, they supported them from Pakistan Air Force, retired their last 17 last March. So they had modified, had glass cockpits and modern ejection seats and so forth in it, but it was still a MiG-17. So other parts, you're fabricating them.
Oh, so question.
Mr. Matthews, you said you flew the Spitfire and the F-86. I understand Bob Hoover thought that the F-86 is the best flying plane he ever flew. What do you say about that?
Mr. Hoover is always right. That's what I'd say. For me, the F-86 is really, as someone else said, you put it on. You don't get in it or strap it on. You really just wear it. It's very compact inside and very responsive aircraft. And one of my friends, Steve Hinton, who's has far more warbird experience than I do, said of all the airplanes he's ever flown, the F-86 is his favorite. So, but I defer to Bob.
Yes, sir. Kyle?
This is a question for the general. Back in the Korean War days, was there any missile threats from the ground?
Neither from the ground nor from the air. But it was the relative ineffectiveness of the 50 caliber machine guns at long range which spawned the requirement for air-to-air missiles. And all services dabbled in it. The Navy stepped forward and developed the first air-to-air missiles. From then on, the guns took a back seat. But the guns were the only thing in Korea.
Hello. I'd like to ask the two men that have served for us, do you guys have any experience serving with women? And if you did, was it positive?
I did not.
General, did you serve with any women?
I served with the women when I was retired as commander of Air University in Maxwell, and had occasion to go. That's at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama, and had occasion to go to Denver to talk to Dakowitz. You will know what Dakowitz is, defense some or other committee for the women in the service. And I requested to go with a woman instructor pilot. And she sat in the front seat, I sat in the back. And I was thoroughly impressed with her techniques, her professionalism. And I was able to report that to my speech to Dakowitz that night. And I've served with other women in higher ranks, in the general officer ranks. And they bring a lot to the table. And I'm glad to see they're getting their due finally.
You know, David, I've got a lady in a pink shirt back there in the under the tent. This kind of goes along with this. She's not a woman in aviation as a pilot. She served in the Navy and crewed F-18 Hornets. And she now travels with me full-time and crews the MiG-17 for me. She's right there.
Yeah.